Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here together with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and Lord, to hear your word, to have the encouragement from each other here today. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word. And Lord, as we hear your word, that we're able to apply that to our lives, and Lord, that we can live them for you in this world, and on a daily basis, be able to share the gospel message of your Son with those around us. We do ask that you would block out a few distractions that might be racing through our minds right now so that we can hear your word clearly and focus on that word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm pretty excited about the series that we're starting, Joining Jesus on His Mission. But it's going to take, as I told the children, it's going to take a little bit of a mindset change on the way we think about missions. Because it's not about some program or planned mission trip. It's simply being an everyday missionary wherever God has placed us. And so that's really the gist of this whole book, is being used by God wherever we are, wherever God has placed us in life, to be a missionary, to share the love of Jesus with the people around us. And so today, really, the key question we want to address is, what's Jesus up to? We're going to look at it from the perspective of our gospel reading for this morning. What is he doing in this reading? What is he doing among his disciples and the people? But then also try to translate that into, what's he up to in our lives every single day? And so we're going to reread the gospel reading verse by verse, but I want to focus on that for just a little bit. I changed my page. Matthew chapter 15. Took my bookmark out. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. It says, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon." And so, before we even get started, we have to understand really what had taken place. So Jesus and his disciples are withdrawing to the region of Tyre and Sidon. We have to understand, first of all, that this is going to be a region that's not Israelite people. He's going away from an area that was predominantly Israelite people, which is around the Sea of Galilee. If we remember a couple of Sundays ago, and this is in the chapter prior to 15 here, Jesus fed a crowd of 5,000 people. He gets in a boat to cross the Sea of Galilee, and he sends the disciples in a boat ahead of him. And if, I think as last week our reading was, Jesus walks out on the water to them, and Peter gets out of the boat, and once his focus is off Jesus, he sinks. So they're on the Sea of Galilee, they're crossing the other side, and they go to an area called Gennesaret, which was on kind of the opposite side of the Sea of Galilee. So that's where they are. And when they get to that side, the crowds, actually some Pharisees, which are religious leaders of that time and the teachers of the law, meet him. And they confront him with an issue that they have a problem with, the disciples. And they ask Jesus, "Why do your disciples not wash their hands before they eat?" And Jesus gets into this long discussion with them that it's not about what goes into a person's mouth or into their body that makes them unclean. It's not about food that they've touched with unclean hands that make them unclean. But it's about what comes out of the heart. It's about what comes out of the mind. That's what makes a person unclean. Well, if you can imagine someone trying to change someone's viewpoint on something, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were not very happy with Jesus' suggestion. So when Jesus and his disciples are withdrawing to the region of Tyre and Sidon, they are actually leaving a territory where his people are and going away, really, to avoid the opposition that his discussion with them was going to cause. So he's withdrawing to this region of Tyre and Sidon. We don't really get the sense that he's withdrawing because, oh, they're not listening to me, I'm going to go do my ministry somewhere else. He's really just withdrawing because he doesn't want to be faced with all the opposition that what he is doing is caused here. So he withdraws to that region. And then in verse 22 it says, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him saying, or crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. When he gets there, there's this Canaanite woman that comes to him, and what does she say? Lord, have mercy on me. Now, what's a little bit ironic about this, and we see this in the New Testament quite often, we even see it at Jesus' death. Who gets who Jesus is? And it's not his own people. I mean, his own people are upset with him because he's telling them, no, it's not about what goes into your body that makes you unclean. But it's the people who you would least likely expect to know who Jesus is that actually gets who he is. Now, it's going to become even more clear that this woman actually gets who Jesus is a little bit later in the text. But at this point, she cries out. And so, she's crying out, Lord, have mercy on me. And the next verse seems a little strange to us. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. It just seems a little strange that you have someone that's crying out to you for help and you don't respond. And I thought about this. I thought, kind of typical of a guy, right? Sitting there watching the TV, the football game, and your wife's in the other room saying, honey, hey, come help. And what happens?
Nothing.
Nothing. It's like it's just going in one ear and out the other, or you're oblivious to the fact. And it's like Jesus, this woman is crying out for help, and Jesus just does nothing. Even to the point you get a sense of frustration from the disciples. Because what do the disciples say? They say, send her away. Now, this is actually nothing new for the disciples to recommend that. If you remember the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus says, feed them something. What do the disciples want to do? The disciples want to send them away into town so that they can what? Buy their own food. And so here we get that sense again. The disciples, you know, just, you get the sense of a persistency here on this Canaanite woman's part, almost to the point of being annoying. And the disciples are just, Jesus is just ignoring it. And the disciples are saying, just get her out of here. Just send her away. We don't want to deal with her anymore. So then in verse 24, he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now this is a little bit of a disturbing verse, I think, for us. Because first of all, you don't think it can get any worse than just ignoring her. And now when he does answer her, he says, I didn't come for you. I came for the lost sheep of Israel. Now there is some truth in what he's saying. Because really, what was Jesus sent in the world to do? He was to restore the broken relationship between God's chosen people, the Israelites, and God himself. Now we know that God's love extends to all people. But Jesus was ultimately the promised Messiah from the Old Testament that was going to restore the kingdom of David, which is the Israelite line of people. And so while there's truth in his words, we also know that the gospel message is for all people, and that will become clear as you go through the New Testament. At this point, Jesus says, I came for the lost people of Israel, the lost sheep of Israel. And so, the woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." Now, I want to make one thing clear here. He's not calling her a dog, okay? But what he is saying, he's reiterating the fact that I came for the children of Israel. And he says it's not right to give something that is intended for someone to someone else. And so he's really just reiterating the fact that he came for the lost sheep of Israel. But she's persistent. If you notice her persistency, she keeps coming back. And so this really points to the fact, as I mentioned earlier, she gets who he is. And I think that may be a little bit what he's trying to do here. Are you really wanting me to heal your daughter? Do you really know that I am the Lord, the Son of David? Or are you just wanting something from me? But I think her persistency here shows she's not just brushing it aside anymore. She keeps coming to him again and again. And then finally, she says, "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." What is she doing? She's agreeing with Jesus. She says, "Yes, I get that. I get that you came, that you were sent for the lost sheep of Israel. And I don't want to take what's the children's. I don't want to take what's the Israelites. But you give in such of abundance that I'll just take the crumbs that fall on the floor." And if you think about Jesus' abundance that he gives, think about the feeding of the 5,000 that just happened previous to this. What was left over? 12 baskets full out of 5 fish and, is that right? 2 loaves of bread. I get them mixed up sometimes. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Out of that, they fed 5,000 men plus women and children. And there was still 12 baskets left. This woman realizes that even if she just gets the leftovers, even if she just gets what falls on the floor that normally, and dogs here is not referring to savage dogs, it's referring to like what we would have as a household pet. How many of you have a pet in the house that just sit there at the table and wait for the stuff to fall on the floor, right? Yeah. That's what the woman is saying. I don't even care if you give me the big piece of steak. I'll just take the little crumb of bread that falls on the floor. And this is when Jesus, I think, really realizes she knows. She knows who I am. And then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. What's Jesus up to? As we think about this passage, what is he doing? Now, first of all, I think we have to notice that it wasn't really, I don't believe, in his intention to go to this area to share the love of God with people. I mean, he was really just withdrawing kind of to a solitary place. We see that, to be alone. But what happens? This Canaanite woman comes along who has a need. And she understands and knows who he is. And she knows that he can meet that need. And Jesus provides healing for her daughter. And the disciples are coming along beside him, not really knowing what's happening, but see him react to this woman who has a need. And so what Jesus is simply doing, he's simply going about his everyday life, and this need arises. And so if we think about that in the perspective of our lives and what God wants us to do as believers in Jesus Christ, when we talk about being missionaries, is he really asking us to leave behind everything, our job, everything, and go overseas to be a missionary? And I'm going to say, no, he's not. What he wants us to do is what he did and what the disciples are doing here. The disciples, they're just going about what? Their everyday business where God has placed them in life. And guess what? An opportunity arose to share the love of God with this Canaanite woman. And in my mind, that's what it is, and this book is going to reflect on that. That's what it is to be an everyday missionary. We go about our everyday life. And there's going to be opportunities that arise to share the love of Jesus with those people, to meet them where they are, and to show them the love of Jesus. And I'm going to say it's almost, I think we sometimes might be like the disciples. Really, the disciples saw this Canaanite woman, and what did they say? Get away. She doesn't need to know who Jesus is or who you are or get what Jesus has to give. And sometimes I think in our own minds, we see people in need, or we have people approach us, and we have in our own minds which people need to know who Jesus is, right? But do we make that call? Or do we simply go about our everyday life, and when God places one of those individuals in our life, we respond? One thing that's going to be brought out in this book kind of over and over, and it may wind up being said every week, is we don't go out for Jesus. We go out with Jesus. And if you really think about just the difference in those two, if we go out for Jesus, then we're having to make a lot of decisions on our own as to who Jesus really wants to know about who he is. We're also putting a burden on ourselves on having to know what to do, what to say, how to interact every single time with that person. But if we go out with Jesus, it changes the whole perspective. Because now we're not going out having to make all those decisions on our own or by ourselves, but guess what? Jesus is doing it all. When we go with him, all we are doing is looking for those opportunities. Our eyes are open, our ears are open, our minds are open to see where Jesus is working. And we join him where he's at work. That's what it means to be an everyday missionary. Going with Jesus, with our eyes open, our hearts open, our minds open, to share what God has given to us. And that is the forgiveness that we have because Jesus died on the cross for us. That is the promise of eternal life that we have because Jesus was raised from the dead. We have that for ourselves. And now Jesus and even us, we should want that for every single person. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask that as we go through this series, joining Jesus on his mission, that you would really begin to work in our hearts and soften our hearts, that we can see people through your eyes and see them who need to know who you are. And by going with you, that we are simply looking for the ways that you are working in people's lives so that we can join you and so that we can be of assistance to you as people come to know who you are. We ask that we first and most importantly realize the love that you have for us. And in response to that love, are able to share it with those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.